Welcome to Stateside. I'm April Baer. Over the past few days, Vermont's Senator Bernie Sanders has toured Michigan, rallying supporters ahead of tomorrow's presidential primary. Yesterday, he stopped by Grand Rapids, where he picked up an endorsement from civil rights activist Jesse Jackson. He then appeared in Ann Arbor yesterday evening in front of thousands of supporters. Bernie Sanders got an introduction in Ann Arbor from his ally, Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez of New York. Let's listen to her warming up the crowd.
We must bring more people into this movement. We must shed the unnecessary clothes of cynicism and exclusion. And we must turn towards an embracing posture where all people are welcome into a people's movement of the United States of America to establish free health care, to establish Medicare for all, to fight for a living wage, to demand humanity at our border. That is what this movement is all about, Michigan. We have a choice to make.
And then AOC announced Bernie Sanders to the amped-up crowd that packed the University of Michigan Diag.
Ann Arbor, thank you! Whoa! I cannot believe how many people are here. Thanks all for coming out.
Before his speech yesterday, I sat down with Senator Sanders for a one-on-one interview. Take a listen. Senator Sanders, thank you for making time for us.
My pleasure.
I wanted to start with a question that has to do with Medicare for All, but maybe it also gets to something broader. Michigan has a great many union voters and maybe union retirees who look at their benefits and their health care plans, and they think about how hard fought those things were. Why should they take a gamble on a plan that is new and different and that might represent a level of benefits that's less than what they have?
Because it won't represent a level of benefits less than what they have. What we are talking about is comprehensive health care, which means you go to any doctor you want, same as you're doing now, any hospital that you want. But it also, under my bill, includes dental care, hearing aids, eyeglasses, and home health care. Very few union packages that are that broad and comprehensive. Second of all, if you talk to any local union leader, what he or she will tell you that half of their life is spent trying to defend the health care that they have. An employer will say, well, you want a 4% increase in wages? That's fine. We're going to raise your deductible. We're going to raise your premiums. We're going to raise your copayments. When you have Medicare for All and everybody in this country has solid, comprehensive, affordable health care, the unions can then go in and negotiate good contracts, good wages, good benefits, good pensions. Health care is now off the table. And if you talk to union leaders in Michigan or all over this country, they would say, my God, that would be extraordinary. We can focus on other issues rather than just health care. And the other thing that I would say is that as Americans, we have got to appreciate that we are the only major country on earth not to guarantee health care to all people as a right. We're spending twice as much per capita on health care as do the people of Canada or most European countries. And yet, despite that, we have 87 million people uninsured or underinsured, 30,000 dying each year because they don't get to a doctor when they should, and 500,000 people going bankrupt because of medically related debt, not to mention that we pay the highest prices in the world for prescription drugs. This system does not work. It really is. It's dysfunctional. Its only goal is to make huge profits for the drug companies and the insurance companies.
There's no question that Michiganders have economic need and will recognize that will be of benefit. There's so many people who don't have coverage or who have inadequate coverage. But to win a presidential election, you have to get people to come along who are maybe kind of comfortable in their situation. What do you have to say to them? Why? Okay. There are many policies that you've talked about that might represent a level of change that might be painful for some people.
I think that most of the issues that we talk about have significant support from the American people, not only Democrats, but Republicans and independents as well. Raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour, does anyone still think that a $7.25 an hour federal minimum wage is anything but a starvation wage? We're right now here on the campus of the University of Michigan. It is my view that through a modest tax on Wall Street speculation, we could raise enough money to make public colleges like the University of Michigan, Michigan State, University of Vermont, tuition free, and that we can cancel all student debt in this country. The American people, as you recall 12 years ago, bailed out the crooks on Wall Street. They're making a fortune right now. They can afford to help us provide quality education to all people, regardless of their income. Climate change, well, we've introduced the most comprehensive climate change proposal ever introduced by a federal candidate. On this one, we cannot debate. All we're doing here is doing what the scientists are telling us we have to do, and that is, as quickly as possible, transform our energy system away from fossil fuel to energy efficiency and sustainable energy. So I think on all of those issues, this is what the American people want.
It's no secret that African-American voters have been pivotal in Michigan's elections. And we also know that Joe Biden has done pretty well with African-American voters historically. And on Super Tuesday, tell us about what you have to say about African-American voters. I mean, looking out just at the crowds here in Ann Arbor, also in Detroit and Flint, there's an awful lot of white faces out there.
Yeah, I think what this campaign is coming down to, and it's something very interesting, and I can't give you a definitive answer. We do phenomenally well with young people. I don't know the numbers, but we win just the overwhelming majority of young people, African-American young people, Latino young people, white young people, Asian-American, Native American. We do very, very well. Truth is, and we're working on it, but I have to admit it, we're not doing well with older people, older African-Americans, older whites, older Latinos. Okay, so you got an interesting generational split here. But I think the question is, if you look at the future of this country and you look at the future of the Democratic Party, which side would you rather be on? Would you rather be on the side of the future? These people, these young people, you know, people under 50, under 40, under 30, this is the future of America. And we should ask ourselves the question whether the future of the Democratic Party, whether we're comfortable with, you know, a candidate who is doing very well, I have to admit it, among people 65 and older. But you know what? The future of this, you know, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is here. I just, you know, she'll be out in a minute. I just spoke with her. She is 30 years of age, all right? She is the future of the Democratic Party. Her vision, her ideas, her personality, not just her. So I am very proud that we're bringing in a whole lot of young people who are strongly supportive of us. Young people historically do not vote in the kinds of numbers that they should. And that's something we're working very, very hard on. Also, in this campaign, now that it has been reduced from 18 candidates to 2, we're going to have the opportunity to contrast our views with Joe Biden's. And I think it's important for people to know that our views are very different. Our records are very different. Joe and I have been around for a while, different records. Joe voted for the war in Iraq. I voted against the war in Iraq. Joe voted for disastrous trade agreements, which have impacted Michigan very negatively, PMTR with China, NAFTA. I voted against those agreements. Joe voted for the Wall Street bailout. I voted against the Wall Street bailout.
Joe, I'm sorry to interrupt. Joe Biden also voted for the auto industry bailout of 2008, and you did not.
No, that was the Wall Street bailout, okay? And you're absolutely right. Of course I support, and Congress supported, and the president supported a bailout for the auto industry. Terribly important. That was tucked into the Wall Street bailout, and it was my view then, and it's my view now, that the working families of this country should not have had to bail out the banks whose illegal behavior and recklessness caused this caused the crisis of the Great Recession. My view was, and I said this in meetings open and closed as a senator, that if they want to bail out, let them ask their billionaire friends to bail them out. It shouldn't be working people. And by the way, it's not just the TARP money that we're familiar with. They got trillions of dollars in zero interest loans, which is a direct subsidy.
Senator Sanders, thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders spoke with us in Ann Arbor last night. We reached out to Joe Biden for an interview. The campaign declined to make him available.